Beloved, our subject tonight is what happens when a man dies. How does it feel to be dead? And I've already told you that you're going to perhaps hear things that you've not known before. I therefore ask you very sincerely to write down all the scriptures that you hear and study this interesting subject in your own Bible. Now, the question about a man being dead is found in the Bible. It's found, as a matter of fact, in the book of Job, and I'm going to chapter 14 and read verse 10, and I want you to listen to this question way back there in the book of Job, 14 and verse 10. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? And that is a question that has interested men and women for all the hundreds of years since Job recorded it, or since it was recorded about Job. Man dies. Where is he? There are some who say he flashed straight off to heaven or straight off to hell. There's some others who say there's a little never-never land somewhere called purgatory where he can go and sort of sit down and wait and so forth. Where is man? What does the Bible say about a man who dies? Well, I want to tell you something, and I hope you'll remember it. I wish I had time on another night to deal with a certain aspect of this question, and I might take the time. Ladies and gentlemen, since the Garden of Eden, the devil has wanted to confuse people about death. God said to Eve and Adam, the first time you eat of the forbidden fruit, ye shall surely die. Now in chapter 3, Eve was off from her husband's side, and the devil came, and he spoke to Eve, and he said, yea, hath not... By the way, I was interested as to why the devil began a sentence with yea. In Genesis 3, and I looked it up, and the scholars say it was his way of greeting her, a light greeting. It was like saying, hello there. More folks have gotten in trouble because somebody cute said, hi. So the devil said, yea, hi. Hath not God said you shouldn't eat of the trees of the garden? And Eve was quick to run to God's defense. No, God didn't say that. He said, of all the trees we may freely eat except the tree that's in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God said, the day we eat thereof, we shall surely die. And now the devil responds with the first recorded lie. The devil said, ye shall not surely die. What sophistry. How cunning and insidious. Here is the devil admitting you're going to die, but not surely. And the majority of the people in the Christian church, let alone pagans, the majority of the people in the Christian church tonight believe that folks are dead, sure, but not surely. Why are you weeping? My father died. Is he dead? Yes. Would you go into his room at midnight and get something out? No, not me. Well, what's wrong? I thought you said he was dead. He is, but not surely. Now, you're laughing, but you know you feel the same way. You wouldn't go to a graveyard at 12 midnight by yourself to save your life. And the reason you wouldn't do it is because you know all those folks are dead. But not surely. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. The safest place in Washington, D.C. at midnight is the graveyard. And the reason is the folks out there can't hurt you, and these devils who will cut your throat are scared to go out there. Not the dead you got to worry about, it's the living. Did it hurt you? Well, let's do what we do so often. Let's define some terms. What is death? Looked it up in dictionary. You know, you ought to study your Bible like that. Know what a word means before you go pursuing it. The dictionary says, death is the end of living, the cessation of life. Life has ceased. Now, if life has ceased, man's dead. Isn't that right? So when the devil said, ye shall not surely die, he was lying. That's why John 8:44 says, the devil is a liar and the father of it. But now I want to get dead serious with you. That lie that the devil told in the Garden of Eden is the foundation of spiritualism. Do you hear what I said? That's the foundation of spiritualism. And that lie has come down to the Christian world with mighty appeal. So that most people tonight are afraid of dead folks. Now there are strong theologians who will preach, you've got a never dying soul to save. Now, beloved, I'm not trying to be offensive or funny, but in all the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, never once do you read of a never dying soul. Not in there. You ought to be sure of what you believe. Amen. Now, it sounds good, I know. I wish I could tell you where it came from sometimes and why. A whole lot of money was raised over this idea that a dead man's not dead. Billions of dollars. But death is the cessation of life. I have seen the beautiful hymn that sings about a never-dying soul to save and carry to the sky. But no matter how beautifully and eloquently it is proclaimed, it is a contradiction of Scripture and is therefore not the truth. Now, it's not enough for me to tell you that. I've got to prove it. And I promised you out here on opening night that when we made propositions like that, we would either prove them from the Word of God or you don't have to believe me at all. So I ask you to pay attention. And tonight on the screen, in order to save a little time, I'm going to go to the screen and read some of the things that otherwise I would read right here. And I want you to try to write them down, even if it's a little dark for you. I say again that no matter how beautifully it is sung or prayed or preached, it's not true. Because it contradicts the Bible. Now, I know this is a sticky subject. Therefore, as usual, I shall stick close to the Word of the Lord. And I want to go now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. I want to read to you what St. Paul said. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Would you say amen? Christ has said, I don't want my people ignorant concerning those who are asleep. And I don't want them sorrowing like the heathen who have no hope. God wants us to be intelligent on this very, very serious subject. Now, we've got all kinds of names. We talk about ghosts and haunts and spooks and spirits and so forth. The Bible describes man as body and soul and spirit. Now, in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, and he formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's where we get our name. And man became what? That's right, and thank you, sir. Man became a living soul. After God breathed into his nostrils what? And that's all you read. God had formed him. He was a body. Then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And so a body with the spirit, and that's what breath means, became a soul. Breath and body equal a soul. Now in Psalms 104 and verse 29, the Bible tells us what happens when a man dies. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. That's very simple, isn't it? A man is not the only thing that has a soul. In Revelation 16 and verse 3, the Bible is talking about the plagues that are going to fall out, and it says the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, And it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. A soul is the union of breath and body. That's what it is, and I'm going to prove it from the screen tonight. Now, what is this spirit? I told you a while ago the breath is a spirit. Now, let's prove it. Job 27 and verse 3. Job said, "All the while, my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils." It's where? The Spirit of God is in my nostrils. Now, animals and men breathe the same air. They have the same breath. And when the flood came, Genesis 7, 21 and 22 says, "All in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was on the dry land died." Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to listen carefully, and I want to promise you this message is going to end with something beautiful. Man breathes breath. A horse breathes the same breath. If the air is poisoned so that a man can't breathe, a horse can't breathe, and a bear can't breathe, and a cat can't breathe. Like electricity. We have electricity that permits me to speak to you with amplified voice. We have the same electricity that lights up this sign and lights up this auditorium. The same electricity drives that projector that puts our slides on the screen. The same electricity makes that organ play. They are different appliances and different things, but it's the same electricity. Man and animal breathe the same breath. The Bible says in James 2:26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." Amen. Now let's get to the original language. In the Greek, the word used and translated spirit is pneuma, and pneuma means wind. The word pneumonia comes from that root because they thought this disease was caused by an ill wind. Some of you men have seen fellows digging up the streets, and they have these hammers that go up and down and keep a lot of noise. They are driven by air, and they are called pneumatic hammers. From the Greek word pneuma, which means wind. And that is the word most often translated spirit in the New Testament. Pneuma, air, wind, breath. In the Hebrew, the word is ruach. It's used 33 times as breath and 117 times as wind in the Old Testament. So God, when He made man, put something in him. The what? Breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, I've got a very startling text that I would write down if I were you, and I would read it again. It's Ecclesiastes 3, 18 to 20, and I want you to listen. "I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast. For all is vanity. All go unto one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again." Would you say amen to the truth? Now, don't get angry with Pastor Brooks. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says man and animal are from the dust, and when they die, they go back to the dust, and it says they all breathe the same breath, and the same thing that befalls one befalls the other. Well, now, what happens then when a man dies? In that same book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, and you have read this many times, it says this in chapter 12 and verse 7. It says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall go back to God," or return unto God who gave it. In the beginning, God breathed into man the breath of life. He became a living soul. The word ruach is translated spirit. And here Solomon says, a man returns to the dust, and the spirit returns to the Lord, who gave it in the beginning. Now, there are some things that people think and say about dead folks. I've got them pretty well on the screen. So rather than read these for you right now, I'm going to ask that the lights go down. I'm going to ask that you pay strict attention and that you write down every text that comes on the screen for you to see. I'm ready now for the lights to go off. And I'm going to take a microphone over here and I'm going to try to get out of the way of the screen. The spotlight can stay with me. Bring this mic up, please. And we're going to read from the screen as we go into this message. Now, can you see it clearly? Can you see the screen all right? Can you? Some are saying no. I'm going to ask in kindness that the spotlight be cut off then. And I'm just going to stand here and talk to you. Can you see it better now? All right. Now, here we go. First of all, death is the common lot of humanity. And I, in talking to you, have been touched by death. That is, my dear mother is asleep. My dear father is asleep. My father-in-law, my brother-in-law, my brother, my sister. I've got loved ones asleep. So I am not insensitive when I discuss this with you. It's going to be beautiful before we finish. But the devil knows how much sorrow is involved when one dies. And the devil takes advantage of grieving hearts. The devil knows that there are people who lose loved ones and they would give anything, do anything, just to see that loved one again. This poignant scene was photographed by me at Forest Lawn Cemetery in Los Angeles. I was a long way from there. I used a telephoto lens and shot it in a hurry. But this dear lady was kneeling by the side of a grave, all by herself, shaking with grief. And from where I was, you could see acres of ground. She was the only person I saw, and it touched me so deeply, I stopped my car. And since I was so far away, I didn't think I would disturb her privacy, so I made this picture. Death, an enemy, the Bible says. And because it is an enemy, and because it visits all of us sooner or later, the devil knows that through sophistry and lies, he can tempt us to doubt God just as he did Eve. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there are two kinds of people who die, saints and sinners. What happens to them when they die? Where do they go? The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a soul. Now, I want you to notice the wording. It does not say that God gave man a soul. It does not say that man received a soul. It does not say that man had a soul. It says man became a soul. Would you say amen out there? And we're going to prove that further later on tonight, beloved. You are a soul. Stop thinking in terms of a little tiny person inside of you called a soul. And when you die, he leaps out and goes flying off somewhere. You are a soul. Adam became a soul. If that's clear, would you say amen? Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And then Eve answered, the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the devil said, through the serpent, ye shall not surely die. And the whole world seems to believe that tonight. And the Christian world seems to believe it. It came from the devil through paganism into the Christian church as a money-making device. Now let's go. The Bible begins to speak, and I believe the Bible. Don't you? Ezekiel 18:4 says, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall what? Now, beloved, you'll read that in the Bible in more than one place. You will never see in the Bible any reference to a never dying soul. God said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. In Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus, in the judgment, will destroy souls. They will die. And you ought to be glad of it. Even a lost man ought to be glad of it. It means he will not burn for millions and billions of years. Now, the devil wants us to think that, because the devil always accuses God of being unjust. Now, if you went out of here right now and stole $50,000, they would give you a sentence commensurate with your crime. They would not cause you to suffer 100,000 years when you only committed a crime for 10 minutes. God will not make a man burn for billions of years when the man only lived 40 years in the first place. What kind of God do you think we serve? The Bible says he will destroy soul and body in hell. Now, I told you I would prove that you are souls. Here is one of the proof texts. In Acts 27:37, Paul was on a ship, and he said, we were in all the ship 216 souls. The people alive in that boat were souls. And yet we're scared of the word soul. We think it's some little ghost that flits around and lights on the head of a pin and scares people and jumps out from behind curtains and says, boo. Would you like to see a soul? Look at the person sitting next to you. That's a soul. Would you say amen out there? Now, the Bible tells us, the soul that sinneth, it shall what? And Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is what? And in Romans 3:23, the Bible says, all have sinned. Now let's read these from the Bible, and please try to write them on your paper. Job 27:3, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God. And in the margin, it says, the breath which God gave him is in my nostrils. That's all it means. The wind, the air, the breath. Let's go on. Psalms 104:29. Thou hidest thy face. They are troubled. Thou takest away their what? They die and return to their dust. God takes away what? What did he give man in the beginning? And now God takes it away, the breath. And the Bible says, whatever's left returns to dust. Ladies and gentlemen, let's read on. Psalms 146:3-4. David said, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in which there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts do what? Now, we're going to give you plenty to think on tonight. There are some people, you know, who mistreated a man. And then that man dies, and they're scared to death. They said, you know, I mistreated him. And I know somewhere, somehow, he's thinking about me. And if he ever gets the chance, he's going to try to get even with me. They're scared to go by his house. They're scared to call his name. Scared to go by the graveyard. Now, he might have thought something about you while he was living, but when he dies, the Bible says his thoughts what? He's not thinking anything. Now, I read in Ecclesiastes 9:5, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Amen. Dead folks don't know anything. And their memory is gone. Even if you mistreated them, they don't remember it. That's what the Bible teaches, beloved. Ecclesiastes 9:5. Now the next verse says, see, it started off by saying their memory is forgotten. Now the next verse says, also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. I'm glad of that, aren't you? If he hated you, he can't bother you when he's dead. If he didn't get you before he died, you don't have anything to worry about. You're home free. Amen. Because his love and his hatred is gone. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that's done under the sun. I've had dear, sincere people say to me, I know my husband comes back. Because when I got ready to buy a car, I didn't know whether to get a Ford or a Chevrolet. And my husband came back and told me, get a Chevrolet. And he sat on the edge of my bed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, something sat on the edge of the bed, but it wasn't that husband. If it was that husband, the Bible is a lie. For the Bible says their memory is gone, their love and their hatred and their envy is perished, and they don't have anything to do forever with anything that's done under the sun. Now, do you believe the word of God? If you do, say amen. But I'm going on. Got plenty. Job 7, 8-10. The eye of him that have seen me shall see me no more. He that goeth down into the grave shall what? Shall what? Then what are we scared of? When he goes down into the grave, he shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall he know or his place know him anymore. Had a dear person tell me one night, every time I set the table for dinner, I set my husband's plate. I put his chair at the table. Now, I'm not belittling anyone. These people are sincere. What I'm trying to show us all is, this is not in harmony with the Word of God. Amen. And you ought to be glad. Shouldn't be a problem. Should make you happy to know that they are resting and not worrying about you. If your husband loved you and see how you're having a hard time, he would be worried to death. Bible says his place won't know him anymore. Job 16:22. Job said, when a few years are come, then shall I go the way whence I shall not return. So something comes home, it's not that dead person. And I wish you'd put a question in tomorrow night. Ask me who it is. I'd like to read it to you. His sons come to honor, and he knoweth it not. They are brought low, but he perceiveth it not of them. You know how it is at a funeral. Our hearts are broken. I've been to funerals of my loved ones. And I know how I feel. I know what it felt like to sit out there and look at my mother in a coffin. I know. And you're brought low. Your heart is broken. And you begin to cry. But that person in the casket does not know. Let's say amen. And I'm glad of it. Mother was lying there, but she didn't know that her children were weeping. Didn't know that we'd all come to honor. That's why I told you the other night, if you're blessed to have a mother, if you're blessed to have a father, and you love them, show them while they're alive. Give them some flowers while they can smell them. If you got something nice to say, say it now. Coming to a funeral and falling out in order to impress the people and hiring gold Cadillacs and all these flowers will not do them any good when they're dead. Help these dear mothers and fathers while they are alive. Now we go on. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. I'm just going to teach you tonight from the Bible. whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For in the grave there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. Let's say amen out there. People want to know tonight, if I die out of Christ, will he help me in the judgment? Is there some way I can go and get it right? No, beloved. And since you don't know when you're going to die, the best time to get right with God is now. Would you say amen out there? You don't even know you'll be alive in the morning. I don't know it. And you don't have to be old in order to leave here anymore. You don't have to have a heart problem in order to leave here anymore. The devil's got ways and means to usher you into eternity that you know not of. And it's possible tonight that we'll never see the sun rise again. That's why the Bible says, if you plan to do right, do it now. If you got some good you want to do, do it now. You plan to be kind to somebody, do it now. Because when you're dead, you're done. There is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Now I realize what this is doing, and I'm preaching this with compassion tonight. I'm not preaching like one who always knew. I didn't know it either for a long time. Thank God for the truth, though. Amen. Psalms 115 and verse 17. The Bible says, the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. Now, ladies and gentlemen, my uncle died. He was a good man. According to all I know, good man. We went to the funeral, and now we'll forget. And we were sitting at the funeral, and he was a minister. So lots of ministers were there, as you would naturally expect. And each one of those men wanted to say something wonderful about my uncle. And finally, one of them got up, and with a great deal of fervor, he leaned back like this, and he looked up toward the ceiling, and he said, I can see Reverend Reeves up in glory, praising God and shouting all over the place. And Reverend Reeves was right there in that coffin, and every one of us was looking at him. The Bible says. Who says? I didn't say Brooks says, did I? The Bible says the dead praise not the Lord. Now the devil wants you to think there's another chance. There's some place you can go and get it right later. Then you can live any way you want to until you die. That is a deception. The devil is a liar and the father of it. If you plan to praise God, from whom all blessings flow, you'd better learn to do it now. While the blood is coursing warm in your veins, while you're clothed in your right mind, while your heart is still beating, you'd better learn to praise God now. Would you say amen out there? Because if you wait until death comes, it's too late. Now some people say all the saints are in heaven when they die. Don't get upset. This is going to get pretty after a while. But I'm going to Acts chapter 2. By the way, this is the sermon on the day of Pentecost. And Peter's preaching. He said, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Sepulcher means grave or tomb. On the day of Pentecost, David had been dead for hundreds of years, but he wasn't in heaven. Now, there are some people who say, well, that's just the Old Testament. Soon as Jesus rose, they all went to heaven. Peter was preaching 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. Now, that's enough time to get man to heaven, isn't it? 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, Peter said, David is dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us to this day, for David is not ascended into the heavens. There it is, a little plainer. Acts 2:34. David is not in heaven. Would you say amen out there? We're going to show you where he is. Now, let's go on and see. Job 14:14-15. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait. Will I do what? Till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. Let's say amen to that. That's good. Job said in 14 and verse 13, Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave. Where? Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. That man said, Lord, hide me in the grave. Put me in a secret place until your wrath be past. But remember me. I'm so glad to tell you tonight that our God will not forget you. He's got an angel that follows you around, keeps you alive, protects you, defends you, helps to save you. And when your day comes, that angel attends your funeral. When they take you out into the graveyard, whether it's a pauper's graveyard or where the rich folks go, it doesn't matter. That angel marks the spot. And when that great getting up morning comes, that angel will be told by God, gather mine elect from the four corners of the earth. Jesus shall say to the north, give up. To the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth. He's going to remember you. Now Job 17 says, I might have to wait. And in verse 13 he said, if I wait, the grave is mine house. I have made my bed in darkness. Job 14:12 says, so man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. Would you say amen? Peter said in 2 Peter 3 that when the Lord comes, the heavens will pass away with a great noise. Ladies and gentlemen, if saints flew straight off to heaven and sinners straight off to hell, Jesus wouldn't need to come. What's he coming for? Amen. The Bible says, man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. Well, when will the heavens pass away? When Jesus comes, said Peter, the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Isn't that clear? Now, until then, you gotta wait. If I wait, where will I wait? The grave is my house. Won't you get cold in the grave? You're dead. You don't feel anything. You're totally unconscious. What about worrying about your family? Your thoughts perish. What about folks you didn't like? Your hatred is gone. The Bible says, marvel not at this. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in their graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Some that have done, those that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Oh yeah, man's going to live again. It's just a matter of when. Don't you think for a moment that our dead loved ones are not coming up. Now I want to get over to the New Testament and read you something pretty. I told you it's going to turn pretty. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17 tells us, well, let me quote all of verse 16. It says, the Lord himself. Who? Now I want you to get this, folks. I don't want to rush. I want you to get this because this is pretty. I'm quoting the part that's not up there of verse 16. The last part of verse 16 is up there. It says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Descend means come down. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. When are they going to rise? When the Lord descends from heaven and the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together. Caught up how? Oh, beloved, I'm not going to rush past that. When Jesus comes, the dead in Christ will rise. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together. Caught up how? Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now I want to tell you why I think that's pretty. Now like all of you feel, I guess, I felt I had the best mother in the world. She had 11 children. And we were all just foolish about mother. She was a saint of God. Now, I'm not just telling you this because she's my mother. I'm telling you this because it's the truth. I can't remember when she died, I sat down in the living room of our house with my daddy. And I said to him, Pop, I can't remember one unpleasant thing about my mother. I couldn't remember her ever using a curse word. I couldn't remember her ever committing some sin that you would notice. I couldn't remember her ever getting even with anybody. In my life. And my daddy said, son, she didn't just start that. She was that way as a child. In 1959, after a long and good life, married for 50 years, reared her children, the Lord called her to rest. And we laid her down in a little country graveyard. Now, if the old idea were true, as soon as she died, something would have jumped out of her and taken off the glory. Now, since she died, I have made some mistakes. I got a brother in this place tonight. Good man with his wife and family. I baptized him myself. He's older than I am, but I baptized him. And when my mother died, he was not a Christian. If mother had gone off to heaven and had looked down and seen that brother of mine doing what he did, mother, being the way she was, would not have enjoyed heaven. She would have been worried about him all the time because she was crazy about him. You follow me? My mother would have seen me when I made mistakes, and she would have been worried to death in heaven, watching me. I got a sister amongst all these brothers and sisters who has turned her back on the Lord. If my mother were in heaven, she couldn't enjoy glory, not the way she loved her children. She would be miserable up there watching my sister go farther and farther and farther away from Christ. Why would I want my mother up there seeing what we have to go through down here? Oh no, she's waiting. She's asleep in Jesus. There's no doubt about it in my mind. We felt so sure of it when mother passed. We met in a room of our home and made a covenant together that we wouldn't even grieve at her funeral, because if death can be pretty, mother's death was pretty. She took that brother's hand that's sitting here tonight and holding his hand, she pointed up toward the sky. And my brother said, "Do you mean you want me to meet you in glory?" And she shook her head up and down like this. She couldn't even talk anymore. And there was a smile on her face. When I got ready to baptize him, he told me he couldn't forget what mother said. Now she's waiting. If I wait, the grave is mine house. When we go down there to Mount Pisgah in Greensboro, North Carolina, we can walk out to the family plot, and mother is there having returned to the dust, and father is there right beside her. But I don't feel sad that she's not in heaven. This is prettier that the Lord is coming. And the trumpet is going to sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive shall be caught up together. Mother and father and my brother sitting out there. And my Christian sisters. All of us going to heaven together. And listen to me now. Listen to me up there. Considering how mother loved beautiful things. When she starts to get excited about glory, I'm going to be right there with her, excited too. I can just hear her now say, "Charles, look at that. A street made out of solid gold. Look at that. A gate made out of pearl. We're going to see it together." Let's say amen out there. That's a whole lot more beautiful than thinking she's up there now wondering if one day I might backslide and not make it. Whole lot better than thinking she's up there watching my sister and seeing all the inflation and all the oppression and all the war and all the disease, all of the trouble. She couldn't enjoy glory when the Lord takes us. Trouble's going to be over. Going to lay down your sword and shield and study war no more. When the Lord takes us, we're going to be through with disease. Not going to have any children wearing eyeglasses. Not going to have any relatives in wheelchairs. When the Lord takes us, it's going to be right. And we're going to see it together. Let the church say amen out there. Now the Bible says, "For if the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are asleep in Christ are perished." Oh yeah, it's going to happen. It's just going to happen at a certain time. Well now, Paul, you got to tell us when it's going to happen. When are these graves going to shake open? And saints coming out. When are little children that died going to be placed back in their mother's arms? When is it going to happen, Paul? He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised." Some shall be raised incorruptible, and we're going to all be changed. Would you say amen out there? I read on from St. Paul. He says, "This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Then, what do you mean then? When Jesus comes, when the trumpet sounds at the end of the world, until then, my heart must go on singing. Until then, gotta live holy. Until then, I gotta wait on the expectation. But it's coming. And you know why it's coming? Because Christ rose up from the dead. If Jesus had not defeated death, we wouldn't stand a chance. You see, death was the devil's best weapon. And the devil felt that if he could get Jesus in the grave, he'd have him. So he got Jesus on the cross, killed him, and when Jesus died, the devil laughed his demonic laughter. And then he told those in charge, "Put him in the tomb and seal it with a great stone and Roman mortar. And then set a guard of soldiers there to keep him in."
And then the devil and his host came to the garden. All of them stood there holding that stone. Ha! I read an allegory. It said that death and hell made a covenant. Now that word hell is from the Greek Hades, which means the grave. It says death and hell made a covenant about Jesus. Death said to hell, if I kill him, will you hold him? And hell said, you deliver him, I'll hold him. So death and hell shook hands. And on Friday afternoon, Jesus dropped his head in the hollow of his shoulder and yielded up the ghost and died. And death burst into applause. And then death said, all right, hell, I killed him, you hold him. They took Jesus out and laid him in the grave. Hades, hell. That was Friday evening. The disciples went home and kept the Sabbath. Early Sabbath morning, death came down to the garden and said, hell, have you still got him? Hell said, don't worry, death, I got him. Sabbath, 12 o'clock. Death came back and said, hell, you still got him? Hell said, I told you not to worry, I got him. Saturday night, death said, hell, I want to know, have you still got him? Hell said, I got him. Early Sunday morning, death came down to the garden, and death cried, hell, have you still got him? And hell said, well, death, I tell you, it was like this. I had him, but suddenly a great light came from glory. An angel came down here. And when that one angel got here, the devil took off. The soldiers dropped dead. The stone was rolled away. And he got up and walked out of there. And he said, death, I got something else to tell you. Not only did he walk out, but he insulted both of us. He looked back. Listen to me. Hell said, he looked back, and with mighty scorn, he turned up his nose, and he said, death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I am he that was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. Let everybody say amen out there. And because he lives, I too shall live. In that great getting up morning, fare thee well. Fare thee well. A friend of mine wrote a song. That song says, if you miss me, don't dismay. I might have to rest in a mound of clay. But when I hear the trumpet sound, I'm coming up out of that cold, cold ground. 'Cause I don't plan to stay here, children. I don't plan to stay. Jesus is coming, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together, going to glory together. I'm going the same time Adam goes. Adam's not going to be up there enjoying heaven all this time, getting the advantage on me. We're going together. Some folks aren't going. When Jesus comes, he's going to park that chariot in midair. Not even going to touch the ground. But when the trumpet sounds, the graves are going to open. And like popcorn popping on a hot stove, saints are going to come out of those graves clothed in white linen. And they're going to go floating up to meet the Lord in the air. And Paul said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Let everybody say amen. For God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. because the former things have passed away.
Oh, look here. Don't you want to go? Where are the dead? They're in their graves. How long are they going to stay there? Till the trumpet sound. Saints are coming out. The wicked don't even come out then. They got to stay on for 1,000 years. Read it in Revelation 20. It says, the rest of the dead live not till the 1,000 years were finished. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death shall have no power. Now, if I have to die, I want to come up in the first resurrection. Want to be on the Lord's side. Now, I want to close this service. It's time to close, and I want to tell you something. As a preacher, it's my dubious privilege to watch people die. And I've watched saints die, and I've watched sinners die. You listening? Now, there are people who can do a lot of big talk. But when you come down to press a dying pillar, it makes a difference. I've watched saints die. Watched my sister-in-law in her last days. Went to the hospital with my wife. Stayed 3 hours. You wouldn't have known she was so sick. We talked about pretty things and beautiful things and laughed together. Got ready to go. My sister-in-law, frail and emaciated with sickness, reached out both hands like this. And she took my hand in one and my wife's hand in the other. And looking us straight in the eye with the peace of somebody inviting you to dinner, she said, listen, you two, if I don't see you anymore down here, I'm going to look for you around God's throne. And then she said, do you hear me? Oh, bless God, if I live to be 500 years old, I'll never forget it. I was looking in her eyes. I saw no fear. I saw the peace of God there. On the other hand, I've gone to the biers of men dying without Christ. I've seen them flinching and jumping, their eyes wall, the rattle of death in their chest. And I done made me a decision that by the grace of God, if I have to die, I want to die easy. Because it makes a difference how you die. Not only important to live right, you got to die right. Would you say amen out there? Well, who can die right? Blessed are they that do his commandments. They may have a right to the tree of life. May enter in through the gates into the city. So when a saint dies, nothing to cry about. Surely you're going to be hurt. You're going to miss them. And there'll be some tears, but you don't sorrow as those who have no hope. Oh, beloved, think about it. Some people wail and cry at funerals, and well, they ought, because that's the last they're going to see of the saints. But when you die right, it's like one who wraps the drapery of his couch about him and lies down to pleasant dreams. So said Bryant in his poem, Thanatopsis. I want to die easy. If I can't live till Jesus comes, I want to die easy. I want to die on the Lord's side. I want my life committed tonight because I might die tonight. Are you listening to me? I want to be on the Lord's side before I leave this auditorium because I might not get home. By God's grace, I hope to. I enjoy living for him. I enjoy my home. Love my wife and my children. By his grace, I want to be here tomorrow night. But I don't know. So I want to go home on the Lord's side. I want to go home committed to obey his word. Don't you? Come on, don't you? If you really do, I want you to stand up out there. With these sober things in mind, let us pray. Oh, Lord. I'm so glad tonight that death is not the end. This thing is not finished when a man dies. For thou hast conquered death. Oh, dear Lord, give us that hope of the resurrection.
and eternal life in Christ Jesus. And help us not to fool ourselves. It's not automatic. That grace is available to those who are willing to be saved, willing to be obedient. And you know, Lord, I'm praying for these people. These are my people now. You've placed them on my heart. I'm praying for them every day and every night. I want these people in the kingdom, Lord. And in spite of my desire, there's some who are going to go to hell. Bless God, there's some here tonight that love the Word. There's some here tonight, Lord, as soon as they hear the truth, they say, thank the Lord. I'm asking you to take us and make us what we ought to be. Fill our hearts with truth, for the truth will set us free from ignorance and error and hopelessness. Lord, you're going to blow that trumpet soon. We can't stay here much longer. The signs are all fulfilled. You got to come on back again. And in Jesus' name, we ask you, when you come, don't leave us down here. Take us home with you. And throughout the rolling eons of the coming future, we'll cast our crowns at thy feet, crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, we'll praise your name forevermore. We humbly beg it in the name of him who conquered death. There is hope for you. For Christ, his life he gave. There is hope for you. There is light beyond the grave. There is hope, I say, for Christ is mighty to save. There's hope in Jesus tonight. There is hope for you, though death might close your eyes. There is hope for you. The dead in Christ shall rise. There is hope for you. With him, we will mount the skies. There is hope in Christ for you. And now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. May he give you a heart made up to serve him. Tomorrow night, we'll be back here to hear the word of the Lord. Our subject is, what church would Jesus join if he came to live in Washington? I'm going to read it to you out of the Bible, and it's going to be clear. Oh, dear Lord. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, it's tomorrow night is Who Changed the Sabbath. I don't want to skip too far ahead. That's the one. Who Changed the Sabbath? And for all who've been wondering, come and bring others. And let us hear the word of the Lord together. That's right. Tomorrow night, Who Changed the Sabbath? Blessed Jesus, please keep us and bring us back together then, for we ask it in your name. Let everybody say amen. Good night, beloved. God bless you as you go home. God be with you and keep you safe till we get together tomorrow night.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.